Welcome to Wellness Your Way. I'm your host, Megan Lyons, and I've helped thousands of people find their own way to wellness. Wellness Your Way is an extension of that work, aimed to help you find your unique path to feeling your very best. Each week, we'll go through tactical strategies you can use to improve your health, happiness, and quality of life. So grab a mug of tea or lace up your walking shoes. We're about to dive in. Hello, my friends, and welcome to episode 154 of Wellness Your Way. I currently am gallivanting somewhere in Europe or Africa, and I am recording this early for you because I just cannot leave you hanging, even when I'm on vacation. I have a great episode lined up for you, a really important episode. Both sections are loaded with information that I believe you can use and apply to your life today. We will be talking about snacking and whether snacking is overpowering your efforts for healthy meals. And then we'll be revisiting some important information on magnesium. So if you've heard of the benefits of magnesium and you've just picked up whatever magnesium is available at Walgreens or CVS or Whole Foods or whatever without looking at the format, you'll want to tune into the second section of this episode. All right, let's go ahead and dive in. It's time for health news you can use. And I will fully admit that as a nutritionist, I put a lot of focus on eating healthy meals for myself and my clients. And sometimes snacks can be an afterthought. But I hear a situation like this so frequently when someone will say, well, I'm eating this really amazing veggie egg scramble with avocado in the morning. And then I'm eating this salad with a bunch of roasted vegetables and salmon. And maybe I'm having a delicious stir fry with some protein and vegetables and some quinoa or something like that. And I'm like, wow, these meals are amazing. And then I almost forget to ask what they're snacking on. And then they start talking, okay, well, I really love, you name it. I'm not going to bash on any particular snack here. But once I start with that, it's just hard for me to stop. And I keep going and going and going in snacks. And I feel like that's where my problem is. And not only do they feel that, but oftentimes their gut instinct is right about this. The study that I'll review today is going to confirm that instinct. It's a new study using data from the Zoe Predict study, and it was published in the European Journal of Nutrition in September 2023. It analyzed just about 1,000 people's snacking habits and their overall health metrics, including BMI and visceral fat, triglycerides, other metrics that were correlated with the long-term outcomes of stroke, cardiovascular disease, and obesity. And what they found, unsurprisingly to many of us, is that 95% of people in the study did snack at least occasionally. And 24% of our total calories in the day comes from snacks. That number might surprise you because we think of the bulk of our calories coming from meals and, oh, snacks, that's 5% or something like that. But 24% of the average person in this study's calories came from snacks. Of the people who snacked in the study, the average was 2.28 snacks per day. 47% of people ate 2 snacks a day. 29% of people ate more than 2 snacks per day. People who ate, this part is really interesting, so tune back in. People who ate high-quality snacks, the researchers defined high-quality snacks as things like nuts or fresh fruit. Those people who snacked on high-quality snacks, they were more likely to have a healthy weight compared to those who didn't snack at all. There is various research going both ways on this. Some say snacking is better. Some say snacking is not better. So I always ask people to listen to their bodies on this, and we'll run some snack experiments as I'm working with them one-to-one. But this study found that those who snacked on healthy foods did have a healthier weight and healthier outcomes in terms of the long-term biomarkers versus those who didn't snack at all, or it's pretty obvious that those who snacked on healthier foods had better health outcomes than those who snacked on unhealthy foods, but the study did confirm this. The analysis showed that good quality snacks can also result in better metabolic health and decreased hunger. So good news, chalk one up for the healthy snacks category. Now, a quarter of the participants, 26%, fall into that group that I mentioned before, where they're eating healthy meals. Their meals are very healthy, but they're eating poor quality snacks. And this group, the healthy meals, most of the time, the vast majority of the time, and the unhealthy snacks, those people have a higher BMI, higher visceral fat mass, higher postprandial, which is like after eating, triglyceride level. And all of these are associated with metabolic diseases like those that I mentioned, stroke, cardiovascular disease, and obesity. So if you are in that category, which I have definitely been in the past before, this is good motivation to switch over some of those snacks to healthier options. They did find, which I thought was interesting, that of all the snack foods out there, calorically, the ones that contributed the most calories to the average person's diet were cakes and pies at 14%, breakfast cereals at 13%, ice cream and frozen dairy desserts at 12%, donuts and pastries at 12%, candy at 11%, cookies and brownies at 11%, and then finally nuts and seeds at 11%. There were other categories of snacks, but they had less than 10% of the total caloric intake. One more finding, and then we'll talk about what to do about it. Snacking after 9 p.m. was associated with poorer blood markers compared to any other snacking time during the day. And they tried to parse this out in the data, and they found that it actually wasn't the time, but it was what people were snacking on when they snacked after 9 p.m. People were much more likely to eat energy-dense food, that means high-calorie food, foods that were rich in fat and sugar at this time. So when I'm having a snack at 11 a.m., it's a lot easier to turn to the apple with some almonds when I'm having a snack at 11 p.m., which, let's be honest, doesn't happen because I go to bed early. But if I were, I'm less likely to turn to a healthy snack. It's more tempting to have those sweets or those chips or something like that. So, A, good reason to get to bed earlier. B, it's incredibly helpful if you are a snacker to have healthy snacks ready. It's unreasonable to expect yourself to go downstairs and prepare a healthy snack that takes 20 minutes when the bag of chips only takes 20 seconds. So having healthy snacks ready is critical. That might mean chopping your veggies up and having them ready on hand. It might mean purchasing some pre-made snacks. I'll link in the show notes to my Megan Recommends page, which has tons of healthier products that I really enjoy and use myself. So if you're looking for some healthy snacks, you can head to that page on my website to check them out, but have these healthy snacks ready. Your long-term health is going to thank you when you nail not only your healthy meals, but also your healthy snacks. I hope that helped. Now let's dive into the veggies of the matter. All right, my friends, it is time for the veggies of the matter. And today we are talking about magnesium. There are few things that I love in this world as much as magnesium, and I'm laughing at myself for saying that, but I'm not kidding. If I am packing for a trip or something, I'm like, okay, forget the toothbrush. I can buy a toothbrush there. Forget like pants. I can find pants there. Forget shoes, whatever. I've got to have my magnesium. I'm being a little dramatic, but I really do love it this much. My Amazon purchase history tells me that I first started taking magnesium supplements in March of 2014. And 8 years later, I have never looked back. You probably have heard me talk about how I think many supplements are overhyped and honestly potentially dangerous if you don't know why you're taking them and you're just popping pills right and left. But I am here to sing the praises of magnesium. I love it. So today I'm going to talk about the benefits of it, how to get it from food, and then all of the different types of magnesium, which is a really important distinction. If you've tried Natural Calm or some other types of magnesium and you haven't felt the benefits, you will want to stay tuned for the part where I talk about the types of magnesium. Okay, so the benefits. Why do we need magnesium? We need it for over 300 documented metabolic reactions in the body, which basically means like your body cannot operate well at all without adequate magnesium. It's used for protein synthesis, for cellular energy production, for muscle contraction, for DNA production and repair, for our nerve impulses, nerve transmission, there we go, for glucose and insulin metabolism, blood sugar regulation. All of this stuff depends on magnesium. Now, we're going to talk about food sources in a moment, but even if our food quality, our nutrient quality in our produce was adequate, only 60 to 75% of Americans consume, or no, I said that wrong, 60 to 75% of Americans do not consume adequate magnesium. So this is the majority of us not consuming adequate magnesium. It's rarely tested on standard blood panels. I'm happy to order tests, blood tests for my clients, or you can ask your doctor for it or other practitioner for it. But I recommend if you're going to do the blood test, test the red blood cell or the RBC magnesium, not just the serum magnesium, because serum magnesium honestly doesn't tell us much. But it's very rarely tested. The majority of us do not consume adequate magnesium, which adequate, by the way, is 420 milligrams per day for men, 320 milligrams per day for women. Even if we did eat that much, which most of us don't, our magnesium is rapidly depleted. Get ready for this list of these things that deplete magnesium. And if you're one of the unicorns that have none of these things, well, goodness, you don't need magnesium. But I venture to guess that every single one of us has one of these things or multiple. These things that deplete magnesium are stress, exercise, caffeine, sugar, refined carbohydrates, processed food, alcohol, protein pump inhibitors, which is a medication for acid reflux, diuretics, laxatives, and many digestive issues. All of these things make us go through magnesium much more quickly. So again, all of us have some of those. If you don't have stress, exercise, caffeine, sugar, alcohol, proton pump inhibitors, none of those, well, bravo for you. But most of us do, and that's depleting our magnesium pretty quickly. So let's talk a little bit more about the benefits. For me, one of the biggest benefits is that magnesium helps regulate the stress response. Having low magnesium can result in anxiety, panic, migraines, fatigue, depression, all of these neurological symptoms that are not pleasant. Magnesium also facilitates muscle contraction and relaxation. So every time you pump iron, every time you squeeze and release a muscle, magnesium has been used. It has been used to prevent muscle cramps from exercise as well as menstrual cramps. So any kind of muscle cramping facilitated by magnesium. Magnesium can regulate our blood pressure. Adequate magnesium in many recent studies has been shown to reduce the risk of all-cause dementia. So dementia from any cause has been reduced in frequency by having adequate magnesium. Even things like pancreatic cancer, which to me seemed like kind of random as I was scrolling through the research, so many chronic diseases have been linked to inadequate magnesium in our bodies. So we talked about all those things that deplete it, stress, exercise, et cetera. How can we build it up before we get to supplements? How can we get magnesium from food? Because I bet some of you are saying, well, my grandparents never took a magnesium supplement, which is true. I don't know that for a fact, but I venture to guess that my grandparents did not take a magnesium supplement. Here's the deal.
The mineral content of our produce, including magnesium, has declined by 80 to 90% in the past 100 years. So to get enough magnesium just from food, or to get as much magnesium as our grandparents got from food, we would need to literally eat 10 times as many vegetables as our ancestors. And we are decidedly not doing this because of the abundance of processed food, packaged food, convenience food, all of that stuff. And the fact that, you know, no one, even me, eats like 50 servings of vegetables per day. So we're just not getting this from food. I personally, you all know, I eat 8+ servings of vegetables per day. And as I go through this list of high magnesium foods, these are like all of my favorites. I know my body loves magnesium because when I eat so many of these foods, I'm just like, I get that feeling that this is truly good for my body. If you are super in touch with your body, you know what I'm talking about. And if you're not, I encourage you to start paying attention to this stuff because your body really does give you signals. When I'm drinking a big glass of water or a cup of tea or pumpkin seeds, which I'm going to put on top of my list, or a really nourishing bone broth-based soup or something, it's almost like my body is smiling back at me. And when I'm eating, which trust me, I do too, it's okay. When I'm overeating, you know, wedding cake at a wedding or something like that, I can feel it. Not only the next day, but like immediately. My body's like, okay, hope you're having your fun here, but this is not exactly the food that makes me smile internally. I venture to guess you can feel that too. So I'm getting off on a tangent, but what I'm trying to say is that my body really, really loves these foods rich in magnesium. I'm going to run through some of the ones on my list, and you tell me if you think your body loves those as well. Pumpkin seeds, like I mentioned, are at the top of the list. Just 1 ounce of pumpkin seeds has 168 milligrams of magnesium. So that's like half of the average male or the average female's daily intake right there in just 1 ounce of pumpkin seeds. Also, other nuts, particularly almonds and cashews and other seeds, some beans like black beans, edamame, spinach is really rich in magnesium. I was going to say great and rich, and it came out grich, but it's great and rich in magnesium, as well as other dark leafy greens, all wonderful in magnesium. Dark chocolate, hello. We've got peanut butter, avocado, potato, brown rice, yogurt, salmon, halibut, chicken, beef, all of these things are rich in magnesium. So we can get it from food, but remember that we are just not getting as much because of our soil quality. Okay, so we've talked about some of the benefits. You might be like, yes, magnesium sounds like it's for me, but now do you just go to the store and pick up a random bottle of magnesium? No, we really need to pay attention to the format of magnesium. So what does this even mean? If you turn over your bottle of magnesium and look at the back, that part where it says supplement facts, it looks like the nutrition facts panel where you would see calories and protein and fat grams and things like that, but it's different for supplements. You will see the amount per serving listed there, and it will say magnesium glycinate, magnesium L-threonate, magnesium oxide, magnesium, whatever is listed in that panel, that's the format that you're looking at here. And this is the important part. So I'm going to walk you through 6 of the formats that you might choose. There are lots more. I don't even know how many there are, over a dozen that I could name off the top of my head. But these 6 are really the most common and the ones that I would recommend most. So I don't like to play favorites usually. I would like to just present the research and let you all decide, but I'm definitely going to play favorites here today. Magnesium L-threonate is my most recommended type of magnesium. It's the one I take personally. It is my greatest love as far as magnesium. Magnesium L-threonate crosses the blood-brain barrier most effectively of any of the formats. It's very effective for anxiety and depression management. It has been shown to have great benefits for cognition, for memory, for neuroplasticity, which is like basically growing and stretching your brain for the better even as we age. It has been shown, get this, to reduce cognitive deficits from Alzheimer's in mouse models. And Stanford's currently undergoing a clinical trial to study this in humans. So there's a lot of promising research to even reinvigorate after dementia or other cognitive decline to bring back some of that function with magnesium L-threonate. For me and for many of my clients who have racing mind that inhibits our sleep, that used to be me. I used to wake up in the middle of the night incessantly going over my schedule. This is just like a compulsive thing that manifested in me where I would wake up and say, okay, 9 o'clock Bob, 10 o'clock Sarah, 11 o'clock Joe, 12 o'clock Anna, whatever. I would just be going through my schedule and I wasn't stressed about it the way I didn't feel stressed about it, but this is just what would happen to me. I would wake up with that racing through my mind, and magnesium really, really helped me with that. So I do think for that kind of racing mind, sleep inhibition, L-threonate is the best, basically for anything related to the brain, for memory, for anxiety, for racing mind, long-term brain health. I'm going to suggest magnesium L-threonate. The one I like, I will link in the show notes. It is not one of the most expensive, but it is a good quality. It's the Life Extension Magnesium L-threonate. I like the powder. It is more quickly absorbed that way. I take it right before bed because I'm particularly concerned with the racing mind at night, but you can take this any time of the day. And you could take capsules if you prefer. I'm going to link all of these ones I recommend in the show notes. So let's move on. Number two, magnesium glycinate. This is also called magnesium bisglycinate. Same thing. I already played favorites, but if I could choose two, this would be my second choice for sure. This one is gentle on the stomach, just like magnesium L-threonate. I don't think I said that, but it is gentle on the stomach. Keep listening for ones that are not gentle on the stomach. And this one's also, glycinate is also bioavailable, but it might not cross the blood-brain barrier as effectively, so it might not be as powerful for the brain. But it has been shown similarly to L-threonate to help with sleep quality, insomnia, general relaxation. And New Chapter has a magnesium glycinate with ashwagandha that I will recommend and put in the show notes if you would prefer to take glycinate. So number three is magnesium malate. The research on this format is quite inconclusive at this time. There's just not enough research to actually that has actually been done on this format to show the differences of this format. But some evidence is showing that it might help. The magnesium malate might help with muscle soreness and even chronic pain like fibromyalgia. Some athletes like to use magnesium malate, and some report that it reduces soreness. But again, there isn't quite enough robust research to support this yet. But if you do want to try magnesium malate, I will link to a product in the show notes as well. Number four is magnesium citrate. Now, I do not recommend magnesium citrate on a daily basis because it's likely to cause diarrhea. Unless you're already very constipated, then it could help. But on a daily basis, it's very likely to cause diarrhea. In fact, of all of the magnesium formats, including the ones above that I do recommend, these all promote healthy bowel function, like pleasant, I guess you would say, bowel function. But citrate tends to get things moving way too quickly, if you know what I mean. So I do not recommend this one. If you've ever had a colonoscopy, magnesium citrate is likely what you drank to prepare. Again, not on a daily basis. If you need it for like occasional digestive support, I guess I would say go for it. But not one that I would recommend, despite this being the most commonly available one at like drugstores, et cetera. So watch out for that citrate, especially if you have a sensitive stomach. Number five is magnesium carbonate. Maybe you were one of those early adopters of Natural Calm, you know, that big white canister that was available in Whole Foods and all of these places. I have to say their branding is genius because everyone wants more calm in their lives, but magnesium carbonate is what they're using. And I have not seen any research. I have looked. I have not seen any research indicating any benefit of this variety over any of the above. And anecdotally, I took Natural Calm before I started magnesium L-threonate, and I liked the placebo effect. I liked the natural calm, like giving myself something that said calm on it. But I felt a tremendous difference when I switched to magnesium L-threonate. And I've had that effect replicated by hundreds of my clients. So I don't recommend magnesium carbonate. There's nothing wrong with it. So if you love natural calm and you do think it works for you, then that's awesome. But if you tried it and you're like, yeah, that's fine, then try one of the other ones instead. Okay, last variety I'm going to discuss today is magnesium oxide. Again, I don't recommend this one because it doesn't stay in your system for very long. The American Migraine Foundation actually does recommend this one for preventing migraines in those who experience auras. So if that's you, it's not clear on the American Migraine Foundation website if they have actually studied different formats and found this to be best. It doesn't look like that's the case, but I don't know that. It looks like they've tried this and it worked, so they're going with this format. But if you do have aura-based migraines, then this could be one to try. It is gentle on the stomach. It's a little in between like the L-threonate and glycinate that I recommend and the oxide. So it could, if you're sensitive, cause some diarrhea. So use caution with it, but it's not my favorite. Again, the ones I would most recommend are L-threonate and glycinate, followed closely by malate if you are an athlete or want to try that for muscle soreness. And the ones I would really not recommend are citrate, and the medium ones are carbonate and oxide. There are several other varieties. There's orotate, sulfate, chloride, lactate, many, many more. But before your ears explode, I'm just going to stop here. I hope you enjoyed learning about magnesium. I hope you feel inspired to try it yourself. Of course, you will hear my medical disclaimer at the end of every podcast, but when we're talking about supplements, it's always a good idea to remind you that it's safe. It's a good idea to check with a practitioner to get their opinion on any supplement that you take. Side effects with magnesium are extremely rare, except for the diarrhea that I mentioned with citrate, but it's never a bad idea to check with your provider. If you're a loyal listener to Wellness Your Way, you know I am super picky about only sharing information that is well-researched and practical, and that I think can change your life. And I hope you love learning the snippets of health information that I share here each week, because I sure love sharing it with you. But I also know that there's a little challenge. You're a loyal listener to Wellness Your Way, but that's just 35 minutes of your week. That's 0.3% of your week. And if you don't have a strategy guiding the rest of the week, then all of the effort you put into learning this stuff and all of the best intentions in the world can easily fly out the window because you have a million other priorities. I get it. It's for people just like you that I developed my Revitalize Health Accelerator. It's for people who already know a lot about health and nutrition, and they're implementing a lot of it. It's for people who feel pretty good in their bodies, but they know they could feel better. It's for people who feel like they kind of know what to do, at least some of it, but then life gets in the way and they don't end up doing all of it. I've been there too, and what I needed was a strategy. What I needed was a way to actually implement what I knew and to do it in a sustainable way that actually fits into real life and doesn't feel like a diet, because it's not. The Revitalize Health Accelerator delivers all of that. And as you may have heard, I've recently made it even more accessible to the masses because I want you in the program. If you've been on the fence, consider this your sign. If you want to keep learning and growing and feeling amazing, this is your sign. I'm waiting here with open arms, ready to help you stop feeling good, because greatness is in your future. Join us at the link in the show notes or go to www.thelionsshare.org/revitalize. I cannot wait to welcome you into Revitalize. Thanks for listening to another episode of Wellness Your Way with Megan Lyons. I always love connecting with listeners, so be sure to follow me on social media. And don't forget to subscribe wherever you get your podcasts so you don't miss brand new episodes each week. If you love Wellness Your Way, please leave us a rating and review. I appreciate it so much. Stay well, and I'll be back next week. The Wellness Your Way podcast is provided for information only and should not be misconstrued as medical advice. Please consult with your physician or otherwise qualified practitioner on any matters regarding your health and well-being or on any opinions expressed within this podcast or the Lion Share website.